It's easy to get a distorted view of what love actually is. Hollywood tells us it's a feeling. You know, knight in shining armor saves damsel in distress. The advertising industry tells us we get it when we buy their product. And with so many people wandering about with a distorted view of love, little wonder that so many are disappointed in love. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond and thanks for joining me again. Today we're going to be chatting about love from a different perspective. And do stay tuned because in a few minutes I'll be telling you about our free daily devotional called Fresh to help you live in the love, in the victory and in the joy that Jesus came to bring you. Hey, the world is full of people who are disappointed in love, people who would say they've been unlucky in love. How often have you and I been bruised or damaged by love? How often have the very people who should have stood by us, who should have understood us, who should have, well, you know, how often have they failed us? Seems that there can be no love without pain. And so here's my hunch. This is what I think happens. We want to believe in God's perfect love. We really, really do. In fact, there's every chance we've signed up to the theory lesson that God is, in fact, love. But when it comes to the practice, when it comes to the way we live our lives, well, that's a whole different thing. Had a letter recently from a woman. She's 95 years old. She was reading one of my books, Unlocking the Power of Prayer, and getting a lot out of it, according to her letter. But then she came to the chapter where I dedicate the whole chapter to that first line of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name. And here is what this wonderful woman who loves the Lord with all her heart wrote to me in her letter. She said, I balked at my Father in Heaven. I'm sorry to say, the father figure is not the way most of us look at God. How many of us have a father we can look up to as a worthy representation of the Almighty? And as for heaven, where might that be? Seems even at the age of 95, the inadequacies of her own father weigh heavily on this woman's soul. And her own father's inadequacies perhaps limit her view of the wonder of God's love, as revealed by Jesus Christ himself. But frankly, I don't think she's alone in this. Actually, I found it quite easy to sign up to the theory of a perfect God who loves us perfectly. I mean, it makes sense. If there is a God, if he is all-powerful and all-loving as they say he is, well, the notion, the concept, the idea that his love for me is perfect, that works, don't you think? Well, it does for me anyway. But like this dear woman, my own dad was no more a perfect father than I have been to my children. We do our best, hopefully, but we make mistakes. And so as we look at this idea of God the Father, our own fathers cloud the reality. And then we consider the hurts that love has brought us in life. Those who should have loved us, who should have understood us, who should have persevered with us, who should have, you know, all that stuff, but who didn't. And the pain of those losses weigh heavily on the human heart. The scars so often harden our hearts, closing them to the truth, the wonderful reality of the perfect, faithful love of God. So the love of God, as much as we may subscribe to the theory, as much as we may sing the songs about it, as much as we may nod as the preacher expounds upon it, is something that many, many people just miss out on. I have a friend of mine recently. He's a worship leader at the church he goes to. And as someone who stands up the front a lot, looking back at the rest of us who are worshiping God in song, or at least that's what's supposed to be going on, worship, he says to me, Bernie, you would not believe what I see as a worship leader. People's faces are blank. Only a handful show any sign that they're truly worshiping God. The rest just seem to be going through the motions, distracted by this and that, looking at their watches, turning around to see who's coming in late. Have they ever discovered how much God loves them? Have they experienced his love? And you know, something I see too, time and time again as I travel around visiting churches, it's as though these people, many of whom faithfully toddle along to church each Sunday, have died inside and the Spirit of God hasn't been able to bring them back to life again. Have a listen to this, 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed amongst us in this way. God sent his only Son into this world so that we might live through him. In this is love, Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his son to become an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. You see, what John's saying here to us in this letter is that God is love, and that love comes to life in us when we accept Jesus and let the Holy Spirit do his stuff in us. You kind of look at the cross and this Jesus, this Son of God, bleeding, suffering, dying up there for you and me on that hill just outside Jerusalem a couple of thousand years ago, and that's where you discover love. And as the Apostle Paul writes, Romans chapter 5, beginning verse 7, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Over and over again throughout the Bible, God's reaching out to us with his love, a perfect, unfathomable love that is the transcendent reality over all of creation. Wake up, look around, see the love of God that he has for us. And if today happens to be a day when we're surrounded by utter death and destruction, if today is a day where we've been shaken to the foundations and beyond, and everything that we took for granted as being permanent has collapsed around us, then as we turn our gaze towards this crucified Jesus, even amidst the worst of all devastations that we can experience in life, the perfect love of God shines in our face with an unmistakable warmth. My friend, this is not a love that we're called merely to provide intellectual assent to. This is not a love that we're called to know about in theory. It's a love that God beckons us to come close to and to experience in reality, in the day-to-day reality of our lives. As I travel around churches and preach of the love of God in the face of Jesus Christ, I will sometimes hand out small blank pieces of paper and ask each person present to write down a number between 0 and 10, which represents how much God loves them. But I caution them before writing. I don't want the theologically correct answer. I don't want the theory. I want the practice. In your experience, in your day-to-day walk, what's your experience of how much God loves you? And sadly, the answer to that question consistently is an average of 6 out of 10. Over these coming few weeks, my passion is for us to discover in our own hearts, perhaps for some to rediscover, the wonder and the awe with which the Apostle Paul penned these words, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 16, I pray that according to the riches of his glory he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with the power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. In other words, Paul wants us to be rooted and grounded in this amazing love that is so huge we can never completely get our hearts and minds around it. What an amazing prayer. Paul's praying that we would lay hold of the awesome love of God in our very real experience. His passionate prayer is that we should burst with a knowledge of God's love which surpasses all knowledge. And that's my prayer for you as well. And that, my friend, is why we're spending the next few weeks on a journey of discovery into the awesome love of God, because in that knowledge is the power of the Spirit. In that knowledge, the heart knowledge of God's perfect love, is unspeakable joy. Before we go, I'd like to tell you about our free daily devotional that I'd love to send you to help you draw even closer to God. It's called Fresh, a powerful scripture verse together with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet, or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio, or even watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. It's God's Word fresh for you each day, and it's completely free. To get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign-up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the e-book, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address again, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. So go ahead, sign up to receive Fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word.
I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.